Louise McSharry on 2FM.
My friends, it is approaching 10:30 on a Sunday morning, and what else would we do but talk about popular culture? Today, joining us via the medium of technology is Cassie Delaney. Hello, Cassie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
It's good to be here virtually.
Yes, it's good to virtually talk to you. Well, I suppose I am really talking to you, but we are not virtually, or we are virtually together.
I know, it's a different speed. I love coming into the studio on Sundays, but like, I am still in my pajamas, dogs beside me, cup of tea beside me, you know, I'm quite chill here.
And that is exactly where you should be, because as I keep saying, we just cannot be too careful at this juncture. Anyway, we have got loads and loads and loads of things to talk about today. It has been a busy time for popular culture, and I, for one, am extremely looking forward to talking about Hilaria Baldwin, aka Hilary Taylor Tom, Hilary Baldwin, Hilary Baber, Hilary Taylor Thomas, whatever her alternative name is. But let's start with Cardi B, because this story is really interesting.
Yeah, so Cardi B's kind of come under fire because a video emerged of her listening to WAP, and then Culture walks into the room and she quickly turns it off and she's like, oh no, no.
Culture,
and
of course, her daughter, who's...
Yeah, her two-year-old daughter.
Two.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is quite good parenting. So she's turned off the music, and people kind of share the video on Twitter saying, you know, it's not fair that your daughter can't listen, but everyone else's daughter can. And Cardi was like, of course your children should not be listening to WAP. I don't make music for children. I make music for adults. And just because I'm a sexual person doesn't mean I have to be sexual in front of my children, which I think is completely legit, totally fair. But one particular Twitter user seemed to be quite annoyed by it, and I was getting quite a sort of heightened reaction to it. I'm on Team Cardi here.
Yeah, 100%. Like, this is the problem, I think, when people get all head up about this kind of content. It's like people forget that, you know, consuming it is voluntary. So no one is making you listen to the song or watch the video. Like, you know, if it comes on the radio, change the channel. Like, we all have our own free will. Nothing anyone is doing, well, unless you're living under a dictatorship or, you know, but for the most part, 90% of what the people are doing online and in the media, you can avoid.
Totally. And also, you can consume adult content and not have it in front of your children. That is just the way that we should operate. And
yeah,
I would hope that no one is forcing children to listen to WAP.
Well, I would be lying if I said that my son hadn't heard WAP. He has.
Yeah, I'm and, sure people hear it and enjoy it. It is a bop, but
he loved it. And in fact, continued to request it for many days afterwards.
You know, start them young.
Well, do you know what? If they can't actually, if they don't understand what the words actually mean, then really what harm are you doing? That's my take on it.
Yeah, they're just enjoying a good beat and a melody. That's totally fine.
Yeah, and Culture will eventually know all about Cardi and WAP and lots more besides, but that doesn't mean she has to know at age two.
Yeah, exactly.
Carrying on with bizarre instances, let's talk about Katie Price raffling off some hair.
Oh God, Katie Price. She has done, I think, just a really good job of constantly getting herself headlines and staying relevant. You know, she's just always up to something. And this week, she decided that she's going to raffle off the literal hair on her head. So after just 6 weeks of wearing her new hairpiece, which is valued at £1,000, she has decided that she wanted a change of colour and she's going to raffle off the extensions. So this came about because her hair extension specialist, Weaves and Waves, posted the raffle on their Instagram and revealed that fans can pay £5 for a ticket to be in with the chance of winning £1,000 worth of hair extensions. Only, they say, only worn for 6 weeks.
Like, now, I'm not an expert, but how long would someone generally be wearing hair extensions?
Louise, I would hope not much longer than 6 weeks. I mean, I don't know. I know you can wash them and you use
them. Is it a few
months? Yeah, but like you use them like your natural hair. And obviously they can be taken off and treated and raffled away. But like, why wouldn't they just pick up a new packet and raffle those ones off?
Well, unless the idea is that it's like bidding for kind of celebrity stuff at auction, like there's added value because Katie Price wore them for 6 weeks.
I'm kind of on the fence on that one. I for me personally, I would say someone else wearing my hair extensions, I'd want them discounted heavily.
Yeah, I think I probably
Katie
would
Price
well.
Or no Katie Price, I would like a little 50% off or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, as you say, she is doing really well at keeping herself in the headlines, and she does have a family to support. So, frankly, I applaud her ingenuity. If someone is willing to buy them and pay for them, then more power to her.
And that's the funny thing. No word on what the raffle is for. You would assume that she's raffling them off for charity, I would hope, but I don't think it is. I think it's just financial gain for herself. But she is actually trying to have, very outspoken about trying to have another child at the moment. So, yeah, she does have a little family to support. And obviously, earning's been difficult for her over the last couple of months because she broke both her legs in that freak accident in Turkey. So.
It has to be said, that gave us truly some of the most incredible visuals.
Some of the highlights of the year.
I have nothing but respect for Katie Price. She does not have an easy life, and she seems to be a great mother. And she has managed to keep herself going for all these years just by kind of making herself the story. So I respect her, and I hope she manages to have another baby if that's what she wishes.
Yeah,
she's 42,
too.
So... you know, I suppose that'll be happening sooner rather than later.
And do you know what else? The extensions do look absolutely fantastic on her. Like, she's looking great.
Well, good for you, Katie Price. Next up, this is now on a completely different tack. I love this story. It's almost too good to actually fit in this slot, but I felt it was important that we acknowledge it. Fontaine's DC did a really good deed this week, didn't they?
They did. So they have donated 29 laptops to Maasai. So the movement of asylum seekers in Ireland. So this is just a really, like, obviously we've heard kind of the appeals for the last couple of months about getting technology to people in direct provision so that they can continue learning, connecting with families or whatever. Obviously, we're all going through a really kind of tough time in terms of being isolated from those that we care about. And it's really important when we lean heavily on tech that we make sure that if that's what we expect of everyone, that we have the infrastructure and the systems in place for people to be able to do that. And obviously in places like direct provision, it can kind of, they don't have access to the tech. Mm. So Fontaine's DC donated 29 laptops. And I think more than just getting the laptops across, it's done really a great job in raising awareness for the situation and kind of prompting more people to get involved and sort of donate old tech if you have it, old phones, old laptops, anything that will help people get connected. Mm. So I think fair play to the lads, absolutely brilliant of them. It's just a really nice feel good story.
And, you know, presumably if people want to make that kind of donation, you just need to contact Maasai, which they're on all the social media platforms. And I'm sure they could point you in the direction of where to bring any kind of technology you have that might help people in that situation. And I would imagine there are lots of other, you know, areas of Irish life where people are really struggling. You know, women's refuges, I know, mm-hmm. can always be supported in this kind of regard, because obviously a lot of women who would be seeking refuge have children who also need to be doing education at home. You know, technology is very important, and most of us are lucky that we have access to it at this stage, but there are lots of people who don't. So, yeah. You know, it is
especially
important to remember them.
Especially in colleges
them.
As well. A lot of the access programs are struggling because a lot of their students might use the technology that's available on campus, but obviously people can't get into colleges and into libraries now. So, yeah, loads of appeals at the moment, but thankfully there are people responding really, really well to them.
Yeah, and that's so great. Love Fontaine's DC, love them anyway, but that's an extra good one. Now, before we move on, we have to acknowledge the biggest story of the week, which is, it's been a whopper week for stories, but one of the biggest stories of the week, Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles. Are they together?
I think so.
Do
and
you?
Okay, there's a couple of reasons. So I've been like deep diving on this over the last couple of days. And they know they go out and they're photographed. Mm-hmm. Like, they know. So, like, they're holding hands. They're very much alluding to being together. So they know what they're doing. Are they actually together? Are they promoting a film? I don't know. If they are together, they're probably the world's most beautiful couple now.
Mm. And definitely coolest.
Definitely coolest. So basically, the story was that they were papped at a wedding. It's Harry's manager, Jeff Azos's wedding, and they're holding hands. So Page Six got the got the photos. And then in the following day, it was like Daily Mail had a picture of her arriving at his place. So obviously they've been working together since the end of 2020, on a film called Don't Worry, Darling, which is, it is great promo for the film. I didn't know the film's name until this story broke, which Olivia Wilde is directing and Harry is starring in. So, yeah, I mean, they seem to be together. She separated from her long-term partner, Jason Sudeikis, last year after kind of, you know, eight or nine years together, and started working with Harry in the autumn, and has confirmed their romance now. So, yeah, I mean, it looks very much like they're together. I saw this morning he's kind of launching this Agatha Christie style investigation to figure out who leaked the romance. But I'm like, you did, son. Like, you held her hand at a wedding out in public. That was you.
So there's a few factors here. Like, people are like, well, he does like older women because she's 10 years older than him, and he does historically like older women and has said that he likes older women. So there, people are saying that that's a bit of evidence. But the biggest piece of evidence for me personally, as opposed to this being like promo for their film, well, first of all, the film isn't out. Like, the film is still filming, so it's not going to be out for ages. It would be a little bit early to be, you know, doing promo for the film. But the main thing for me is that the first photo that leaked, where they were holding hands at this wedding, he was holding so many things in his left hand. He had like a clutch handbag. He had a whiskey, it looked like, in a glass. There was something else he was holding as well. I can't remember. Like, his hand was fully occupied. It would be very, like, he was choosing to hold someone's hand in a way that made him probably physically uncomfortable. And you only do that when you're really into someone.
Yes, yes, he's got so much. You're right. He's his own little man clutch, which I love. He's not holding her bag. It's his clutch.
It's his bag.
Yeah, a lovely, well-balanced whiskey just on a finger. His hands are also full of rings, which can't be easy when you're holding things.
It's a lot to maneuver.
Yeah, you're dead right. He was choosing to hold her hand. And they look, they look so good together, though.
Yeah.
I loved her ensemble. She's wearing this like gorgeous floral, long, kind of very summery dress, a hairband, lovely masks on them. He looks fabulous as always. But also, like, she has come to his defense online a couple of times. So there was when Harry did the Vogue story recently, where he was talking about dressing up, and he's photographed in a dress, and he's talking about kind of, you know, gender fluidity and just how he likes to express himself through clothes. There was a tweet in which one person was like, you know, bring back manly men.
Ugh.
And Olivia tweeted in there saying, you're pathetic. Jump into his defense.
She's not wrong. All right. Well, I support this. I'm with this. I'm all for it. We've got lots more to talk about, including Dr. Dre has been unwell. So we'll talk about him. And also we will talk about Hilaria Baldwin. It has to be spoken about. And we're going to do that right after this.
Louise McSherry on 2FM.
That is gorgeous Irish music from Aislinn Logan. That is Never Stay Low on 2FM. I am talking to Cassie Delaney, founder of Tall Tales Podcast Production, about the stories that rocked our world and popular culture this week. And Cassie, before we move on, I have to say a hairstylist has texted in to say good expensive extensions will last 6 months.
Okay, that's good to know.
It's a real, as a beauty journalist, it is a real blank spot of mine because I've never had them. I'll have to add it into my research repertoire. I was thinking that yeah, the ones that you get, like, you know, properly applied, I'm pretty sure they last for ages, but then the clip-ins are obviously, you put them in and you take them out.
Yeah, that's my experience. Once for the Debs, would not recommend. So I've steered clear of them ever since.
Okay, well, now we are stretching our remit of talking about the popular cultural stories of the week, because this is something that came up over the Christmas break, which I just simply could not talk about. And that is, of course, Hilaria Baldwin, wife of Alec Baldwin. Please, lest anyone has missed it, tell our friends who are listening what has been going on.
Like, where to start with this story? There's just so much to it. My favorite thing before we start is that it's filed on the internet under the tag niche drama on the cut, which I just think is perfect, right? I have been bet into this. So this kind of started unfolding around like Stevens's Day, the 27th, when all is quiet, that weird time between Christmas and New Year's where no one's doing anything. And this consumed my every waking moment. So Hillary, I'm just going to call her Hillary, her Boston birth name, Hillary, is married to Alec Baldwin, but for years has been kind of parading herself or allowing people to believe that she's of Spanish descent. She speaks with this kind of soft sort of like accent that's her English. She's obviously fluent in English, but like speaks with a little bit of a Spanish accent, and has had all these sort of stories of how she came to America when she was 19 to study at NYU, how she grew up. Her parents do live in Spain at the moment, but how she grew up in Spain, and just it was like a lie that kind of snowballed and snowballed and snowballed until she was living life as Hilaria Baldwin.
And so, like I think the most incriminating thing here is like she literally was on TV or being filmed for something cooking a recipe, and this is
just the greatest moment of TV.
She points at a cucumber and she says, "This how you say in English, cucumber." Like that is the most damning piece of evidence. Like this woman.
But there's so many. I mean, like she outright says on a podcast that she moved to New York when she was 19, having been raised in Spain. Her bio on kind of her agency site says that she's Spanish. Everywhere in Hola magazine that she's been interviewed for multiple times, they constantly reference that she's born in Spain. She talks about raising the children bilingual because her native tongue is Spanish. And in actual fact, she is just this young one who's born in Boston who went to Spain on holidays a couple of times when she was younger. Like, it's bizarre. So, but I think I was talking to a few friends about this because this is exactly the kind of creep dive content that we would absolutely adore.
The creep dive, obviously, one of Cassie's podcasts.
But I don't think it's as bad as, say, like Rachel Dolezal, who was a big story a couple of years ago. Mm. I personally don't think, I think it's just a kind of a white lie that she told maybe to seem more interesting that spiraled into saying she can't remember the English word for cucumber on TV.
Yeah, I kind of think so too. I feel like she just ended up playing a role. But the thing about it is that they both have come out, like Hilaria and Alec both did these big Instagram kind of chats where they talked about this situation. And she was like, look, I've never lied. Like anytime someone asks me, I tell them I was born in Boston. She's like, I don't understand why people are making such a big deal out of this. Like I'm not a traditional Bostonian. I've spent loads of my life in Spain, blah, blah, blah. And I'm, you know, as someone who was born in Dublin, moved to America when I was 7, moved back when I was 16, and lived in England for a year in between that, I know what it feels like to have a kind of mixed up cultural background.
Totally.
But at the end of the day, I am Irish. I have always been Irish. I will never be anything but Irish. And even when I was in secondary school and friends of mine in secondary school wanted to fight with me about my Irishness, yes, that's a real thing that happened, I knew I was Irish. So this, it's wild, but I don't think it comes from a kind of malicious place.
No, and she did a great Instagram. Well, it wasn't great. It was kind of, she did an Instagram story very early on responding to it saying, look, I'm just someone who's grown up with the benefit of two cultures. This is who I am. This is not a big deal. Kind of explained away the name thing, that when she was in Spain, they called her Hilaria. And when she was at home in Boston, they'd call her Hillary. Hilaria felt more, more resonated, I suppose, better with her. So she kind of changed her name and all her documents to that. It's just, I don't know. I think it is just kind of a little white lie that became a big white lie that has now garnered international attention just because it's a little bit weird and funny.
Well, I saw someone saying that, like, don't we all kind of emphasize or elaborate on the most interesting things about ourselves to try and make ourselves seem interesting to other people? And that's kind of what she's done. But I mean, to a ridiculous extent. Like, I would not advise this course of action, you know, for anyone. I think one of the reasons it's become such a big story in the United States is because culturally in America, obviously, you know, there is a kind of race divide between people yeah. who speak Spanish and usually are of South American or Mexican descent in America, and Spanish people from Spain who are usually white people. So a lot of American people seem to be conflating what Hilaria did with what, say, Rachel Dolezal did, and kind of, you know, role playing another race, which I don't think is what happened here.
No, I think it'd be a different story if she was parading, like if she was appropriating the experiences of sort of immigrants or that community. But she's not, like, she's very much keeping herself separate, has spoken a lot about spending a lot of time in Boston. She's kind of, you know, it's not out and out lies. It is just kind of hyperbolic exaggerations of her life. But I don't think she's claiming that she's of that community or that she understands the experiences of that community in the same way that Rachel Dolezal did. So yeah, it is, it's an interesting one. I kind of settled on the whole, I'm just going to leave her be. I cannot stop watching that cucumber video. Like, it gives me life. I'm like, how do you not wake up full of anxiety in the morning?
Well, I don't think she'll be clutching for the word cucumber anytime soon. Let's just say that. Now, let's talk briefly about Dr. Dre, because Dr. Dre, as if you could forget about him, he has unfortunately been in hospital.
Yeah, so he had a brain aneurysm during the week. No, he's doing well, and doctors are running tests to kind of find out what has caused it. But he did release a statement to his fans saying that he is doing much better, and it just made him realize how short life is, and he'll be back home soon. And he thanked his friends and his family and his fans for their well wishes. So God love him. Like, he's a little bit unwell. He's obviously going through a really public and what appears to be quite messy divorce at the moment. So I'd say his stress levels are just through the roof.
Yeah, brain aneurysms are so scary. And then we talked about this at length yesterday on the show, so we won't go into it too deeply, but of course we have to acknowledge the emergence of, it seems likely, the divorce of Kim and Kanye.
And Kanye, I feel like my own parents are divorcing here. Like, I feel like they're such an important part of pop culture, of life. They've given us some of the greatest moments in pop culture history. And I don't know what we'll do without them. And also, I don't know how we're going to cope watching it all unfold without having Keeping Up with the Kardashians alongside it. Like, this would have been a great season and a great promo into the new season.
Well, they just finished filming on Friday, so we might get a little bit of it.
Oh, maybe a little glimpse.
And they have signed up to do shows with Hulu, so who knows? Maybe.
Oh, excellent.
We'll get it there. Although, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if Kim decides she wants to keep that kind of element of her life completely out of any future programs.
Yeah, true. I mean, there's obviously a lot at play here. I think that Kanye, you know, he's publicly struggled with his mental health. We've seen him go on some pretty bad kind of Twitter rants during 2020. And I think he does need a lot of support. I think Kim has been incredibly patient, and I think it's just time for her to focus on her family and raising them kind of a little bit more out of the spotlight, I think. Mm-hmm. And then obviously focusing on her law studies as well, and the kind of great advocacy work that she's been doing. It's just really sad, though.
It is sad. It is sad. You'd worry about Kanye, you know?
I do worry about Kanye.
I do too, Cassie. I do too. Well, Cassie Delaney, thank you so, so much for talking through the stories with me this week. Cassie Delaney, of course, as we mentioned, is one of the hosts of The Creep Dive, and she is the founder of the Tall Tales Podcast Network. Cassie, have a great day.
Thank you, Louise. You
Thanks
too.
A million. Louise McSherry on 2FM.